We are studying the Gospel of Luke together through the summer. And so we are at the end of chapter 10 today. So if you would please go there, Luke chapter 10. We'll look at this for a few moments, starting at verse 38. And then we'll read to the end of the chapter, which is just a couple verses. You may remember last week, if you were here, if not, the topic last week was something you have heard of. The last week was the passage on the Good Samaritan. And so the passage ends with Jesus saying to his people, you go and be the Good Samaritan. You go and do likewise. That's how the passage ends. And this passage about Martha and Mary, you're probably familiar with this too. But it's strategically put right here in this place by Luke. And here's the point we're supposed to see in this. Like, what happens when somebody says, I'm going to be the Good Samaritan? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to burn candles at both ends. First one to come, last one to go. I mean, who needs sleep? That's not me. I'm going to go. I'm just going to be the Good Samaritan. What does it look like when someone says, that's going to be my life? This passage talks about that. Let's look at it. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. This is God's good word for us this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come here this morning as people who are really busy. And busy with a lot of good things. And our hearts are so noisy and our hands are so tired. So we need you to speak gently enough and clearly enough to us that we'll hear you. And we need this because we are your children. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Ruth Haley Barton, she's probably not very, very well known, but she runs an organization that specializes in ministering to people who are just giving themselves all the time. It might be giving yourself in the church. It might be giving yourself helping a parent that's really sick. Maybe you have some special needs relationships. You're just always taking care of people and you're just, man, I'm so tired. She has this special ministry where she says, come to me and I'll just give you some rest and teach you a little bit about the Lord and give you some time off. So she has a little piece of she has a book called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And she opens up one of her chapters with a little story about herself. This is what she says. She says, several years ago, during an unusually intense season of ministry, I made a comment to a friend that surprised us both. Before I could censor my thoughts, I heard myself saying, I'm so tired of helping other people enjoy God. I just want to enjoy God for myself. She's like, I didn't even know that was like in me. She said, it just came out. I'm so tired of telling everyone else about Jesus that I don't even have time for him myself anymore. Anyone here like that? This passage is getting at that thing. It's getting at the heart of saying, I'm so distracted from Jesus, I just want him. Let's look at it together. As you know, the story has a couple of sisters in it, Martha and Mary. Mary's just kind of mentioned in passing. She's not really focused on a whole lot, but we will talk about her. But I want to focus for most of the time on Martha. What is Martha doing? I want to ask that question. And how does Jesus respond to her? What is Martha doing and how does Jesus respond to her? Let's look at what Martha's doing. First of all, there's some things we see on the outside. Look at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So if you're just looking at Martha, what's she doing right now? She's going and inviting Jesus into her house. She's being hospitable. Which, through the book of Luke, we've seen over and over, Jesus says, if you're my people, I want you to be hospitable. Welcome others. Serve others. Okay? Martha's doing it. Look at verse 40. It says, Martha was distracted. We'll get to that in a minute. But she's distracted with much serving. And that word serving, actually, in the original language, is the word from which we get the word deacon. So she's doing good stuff. It's not like Martha's, you know, back there, you know, whatever. She's got a meth lab she's cooking up or something. No, she's in the kitchen. She's doing really good things. In fact, in this passage, Martha is actually the Good Samaritan we saw last week. Like, she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's serving. So, she's getting the meal ready. And so I was curious. I thought, what does an average Jewish meal look like? And so I found a website that talked about average Jewish meal. Let me throw a couple things out there. There would have been something that was a sweet bread, maybe coated in honey or something like that, but some sweet bread, a fish casserole. So the fish would have been like all cut up and some carrots thrown in, maybe some onions and all mixed together. A soup with dumplings in it. Slow-cooked meat. So this will take a little while. Salad, some kind of a salad. And then a dessert. And this website made the point, like, the dessert is essential. You have to have dessert. So, by the way, she's probably doing this for at least the 12 disciples and Jesus. Mary's there. Herself, her brother Lazarus, we meet him later. This is a lot of food for a lot of people, but it's the good thing she's doing. I mean, she's doing hospitable, kind, generous, sacrificial work. That's what we see on the outside. What's going on inside? Jesus calls her out in verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled. So she's over here, man, good Samaritan all over the place. Look at Martha. That's so great. Give her the stars. Good work. And Jesus says, you know what, Martha? You're anxious. And that word, the word anxious, see if this resonates with anyone. The word anxious, it's kind of like an OCD term, because what the word means is constantly in your mind, organizing and reprioritizing everything. This and this and this, but what if this happens? What if Peter eats too much of the fish casserole and I don't have enough? Then what am I going to do? You know, what's going to happen? So she's just constantly reprioritizing things in her head. And the word troubled, Jesus says, you're anxious and troubled. And I love this word troubled because it's a word that means everything on the inside is so balled up that your mouth starts to release the pressure. So it sounds like, or, you know, whatever your pressure release sound is. Ah! That's what it sounds like. Jesus says, Martha, you're anxious and troubled. There's so much going on in your heart right now, and it's coming out your mouth a little bit. I can hear you back there. And then the wheels come off the whole thing, because what is all inside all comes out. Look at verse 40. This is right before Jesus talks to her and tells her what's in her heart. But it says, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. This is, I mean, not only is this like aggressively confronting Jesus and giving Jesus commands, but the way this reads in the original is sarcastic. She says, don't you care that my sister left me? Tell her then. In other words, what she's saying is, you've been telling me you care. Well, then do something about it. And she throws her sister, you know, under the bus. Mary should be helping me. What's she doing? Everything that was inside came to the outside eventually. Let me read this something to you. This is I read a book a couple weeks ago. The name of the book was called Essentialism. And written by, it's a New York Times bestseller. I don't know how to say the guy's last name, but something like Greg McKeown. If you know how to say it, you can tell me afterwards. But, and he's writing this book because he says, man, we are all so overworked and stressed out. Listen to how he describes things. It's a couple sentences, so here it is. He says, for the first time, the preponderance of choice has overwhelmed our ability to manage it. And it's not just the number of choices that has increased exponentially, it is also the strength and number of outside influences on our decisions that has increased. Today, technology has lowered the barrier for others to share their opinion about what we should be focusing on. It's not just information overload, it is opinion overload. And it results in stressed people trying to cram yet more activities into their already overscheduled lives. He says, not only do we have so many good things that we want to do, but as we scroll through social media, everyone else is telling us how to live. Are your kids doing this? Mine are. Did you go on this vacation? I did. Are you starting on the team? I am. Or did you have 5,000 views on your video? I did. And we're like, oh man, I need to have a video with a bunch of likes on. I need to do that. I need to take my kids to the beach. I need to do all these great things. And he says, now there's outside influences. Say, not only do you have all these choices, but everyone's saying you should be doing all of them. But it's not just that all these good things are stressing us out, and it's not just that it's straining our relationships, because that is happening. I mean, just did everything on the inside come out this week? I just hollered at everybody, which is what Martha does. Maybe you punched a hole in the wall. Got so angry. All those options, yeah, they're straining our relationships. They're stressing us out. But this passage says the big issue is that we're so wound up that we don't even have time to listen to Jesus anymore. We're just too distracted. So I want to think for a minute, then what does Jesus say to Martha? What does he say to her? Does he holler back? Does he throw something at her? What does he do? Let's look at it for a minute. Look at verse 41 again. The Lord answered her and he said, Martha, Martha. Now, he says her name two times. That doesn't mean a whole lot to us. You think, okay, you got my name. You got it right the first time. Why did you say it twice? But in that culture, to say someone's name twice was to say, I'm really close to you. I know you really well. But what's crazy is, so far as we know, this is the first time Martha has ever met Jesus. But Jesus says to her, I know you. Long before you knew me, I knew you. I know you, Martha. And it's a term of endearment. It's, I love you. I've watched you your whole life. He affirms that he cares for her. And then, because that was her question, right? Do you care? And he's like, Martha, I've always cared for you. And then look at what he does at the second half of verse 41. Jesus, he doesn't say, Martha, you've got so many things on your schedule, you need to get rid of a few of them. Doesn't say that. He says, Martha, it's your heart. Your heart is anxious. The problem isn't your hands. Your heart is like this energy nuclear core that's producing so much anxious energy that all you can do is, I got to stay busy, got to do something. Jesus says, it's your heart. And then this is wonderful. In verse 42, Jesus gives her one priority. He says, Martha, you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing, Martha, I want to scoot everything over to the side. One thing you got to have, it's you have to listen to me. One thing is necessary, one thing is a need. That word need challenged me this week. We were in the back hallway doing some, cleaning up some classrooms and stuff. And I caught myself saying, oh, I need to find a pair of scissors. I really need some tape right now. I really need to move. And I thought, wait a minute, okay. I do need these scissors to cut this paper. And I need some tape to, make this look nice again, tape it back together. When Jesus says only one thing is in need, he's not saying, okay, you don't need tape for this project and you don't need to get your oil changed. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, I've got the cosmic perspective. I've got everything in view. I see your whole life, and you can have all the tape and oil changes you want, but if you miss this thing, you miss everything. There's one thing necessary, he says. One thing, Mark, you have to listen to me. You're so distracted. You keep saying yes. You won't say no, but you're losing me. You got to listen to me. He reorganizes her schedule for her. Says, let's put this one back at the top. And then finally he talks about Mary. He says, Mary has chosen the good portion. I love that phrase, the good portion. It's a culinary arts term. The good portion is, if you think about food, there's already been a lot of food talked about in this sermon, so. The good portion is like the really thick cut of steak, if you're into steak. If that, whatever your cut is, give me that juicy piece. That's the good portion. Or, if you're into tomatoes, we got tomatoes growing on the vine right now. You want those nice, red, plump tomatoes. Don't give me the scrawny ones all shriveled up with worms in it. I want the good one. The crisp cucumber, the tuna that's been seared just right, if you're into tuna, right? It's the avocado that's soft, not the hard one that you say, no, it's real soft, easy to peel. That's the good portion. And here's the thing, as you think about this, all the good portions of life, meat, vegetables, fruit, whatever else you ingest, most stuff that is good, the good portion, had to die to give you life. Like that fish you're eating was at one time alive. But you're eating it so that you will have life at the cost of his. That cucumber, when you pull it off the vine and you crunch it, that cucumber is dying to give you life. Jesus says, Martha, I am the good portion. You're losing what you need to stay alive. You have to have me, Martha. I am the one who has given his life. Hadn't done it yet at this point, but he's going there. Let me read this for you. This is an Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah 55, and it's Jesus talking before he became a man. So it's a prophecy of who he is. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 55. Jesus says, "Come, everyone who thirsts. What if I'm anxious? You come. What if I'm angry? You come. What if I'm full of guilt? You come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." He says over and over, he's like, you have to listen to me. I am the water. I am the wine. I am what you need to survive. He says, you come to me. That your soul may live. Okay, so what do we do with this? Let's wrap this up. What do we do with it? You know, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And this is shattering cultural expectations. Because Mary, as a lady, is not allowed to sit at the feet of a rabbi. When she walks in and she sits down at Jesus' feet, everybody's uncomfortable. Like, what is she doing here? You're not supposed to be sitting here. But she shatters all the cultural expectations. She says, you know what? I've got to have what he says. I have to have Jesus. I have to have him. What do we do with this? Here's what I think. We're going to need to shatter cultural expectations to feed on Jesus. Listen, we can take our cues from the culture on what our priorities are, but it's not life-giving. It's just not. I mean, that's so long as I say, I'm just going to do what the culture expects me to do. I'm just going to scroll through and do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to sign up. I'm there. Y'all, burning both ends. I'm going to do that. Jesus says, so long as you do that, you're going to be caught up in the back working on stuff all the time. There has to be a point where we say, no, that's enough. I'm going to go spend time with him. Not that all the other stuff was bad. Like I said, Martha wasn't meditating on who to assassinate in the Roman, you know, military. She was busy doing good things, but there are good things that we have to walk away from. Jesus says, eat. And your soul will live. And that is not what most people in our lives are telling us. Let me wrap it up with this. The end of the Bible, there's a book called Revelation. And everyone knows the dragons and the scorpions. Everyone knows that part. But at the beginning of that book, there's a series of letters that Jesus writes. And the first letter, he starts off with this. I know your works, but you've left your first love. That's how he starts it off. And then he ends the letters with this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them. And eat with him, and he with me. It may be that, you know, for years, you have just been feeding yourself on your own accomplishments. I just got to get it done. Got to do it. And there are seasons of our lives where it's just like, man, it's just crazy right now. But it may be for years you've just been eating your own works, and your soul is anxious, and you're blowing up at everybody. What's wrong? I don't understand. Maybe he's knocking and you haven't been listening. And he says, I want to come into you. I want to feed you. I want to be with you. I want to give you life. Eat. As busy as you've been, you can still come. Eat and your soul will live. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do confess that we get so very distracted, and that we really are longing for the good portion. So feed us, please. Even just a little work of your Spirit. Just a little bit is abundance. And so, Holy Spirit, please draw us deeper into Christ right now, even as we come to this table. And we pray this in His name. Amen. If the men who are serving will come join me here at the table.